Lights, camera, hands.
Hello and welcome back to the Hideous Laughter Podcast. My name is Steve. I play Matumbe on the show and just want to welcome you back for episode 7. You can find us on Twitter, Snapchat, at Laughter Hideous. You can also find us on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook at The Hideous Laughter Pod. That's enough for the arbitrary plugs at the top. Thanks for coming back to the premiere Carrying Crown Adventure Path on podcasting. Wait. Oh, Jesus. Someone's coming in the room. Who, what? Hey, put some pants on.
Oh, hello there. How are you, young man?
I'm okay. I'm recording the intro here.
Hello, everybody. This is Horace, and I've heard that the Carrion Crown podcast has reached 200 followers on Twitter. Now they reached out to me via Raven in order to get me to give a shout out to one of our special listeners.
I didn't do that. I didn't do that at all.
You definitely did, Matumbe.
Oh dear. That raven was for another.
Oh, I saw the nudies of Eclipse in there, so I'm pretty sure it was for me. Anyway, stay tuned next week where I will be shouting out one of our lucky listeners. But until then, enjoy episode 7, Birdemic.
Get ready for shock and terror.
Like liquor and things that go boo? Then buckle up, listener, cause this one's for you. Prepare yourself for the Hideous Laughter Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Hideous Laughter Podcast. We're back for episode 7. And, you know, I'm still dying to know right now. I mean, what the fuck are you guys drinking? Like, what's going on over there? I see a lot of koozies. I don't see what people are drinking.
I can take this one.
Okay. Come on, man.
It's good to be back on the hams.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
You didn't love that, that Miami Vice?
It was pretty tasty, but... You know, I like a little bit of a longer, slower burn, and I can really get that when I drag it out across 3 or 4 hams in a session.
Oh, well, you know, that's nice to hear. Emphasis on here, I guess. Brooks, what about you? What are you drinking?
White Claw, as usual. This afternoon was a little bit something different, but I have currently shifted to White Claw.
Currently shifted. What was in your arsenal this afternoon?
When did you start?
Here we go.
You know, there's a lot of questions going around. I feel like there's a lot of allegations, a lot of false accusations. Yeah, fake news.
Fake brews, if you know what I'm saying.
Ooh. Well, anyways, I just got a quick word for Griffin. Just so you know that railroading a campaign is just another form of manifest destiny.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that.
No problem.
What the fuck? You did tell me I'm railroading you guys?
No, just if, you know, Ikmer wants to do his own thing, no big deal. Just so you know, manifest destiny.
Yeah, manifest destiny into a grave. That's all I have to say. What about you, Haley? What are you drinking?
I am drinking vodka and Crystal Light. Delicious.
Vodka and Crystal Light. Do you at least get a flavor on that?
Mixed berry, I think.
Mixed berry, okay. Boysenberry. What about you, Emily?
I have a bit of a concoction tonight. It's vodka, Coke, and then some lime White Claw to give it a little bit of a kick.
That sounds awful.
Emily, I don't think, you know, when we started this podcast, I really didn't think I was going to say this about you. And especially, like, I know Brooks has housed like 10 beers today, but you might be the most disgusting drinker in this room. That sounds foul.
It's actually pretty good.
In what frame of reference? It's pretty good compared to drinking straight vodka?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's better than straight vodka.
Mm. All right. Debatable. As for me, I'm drinking a tasty, tasty Smirnoff seltzer, which Brooks will tell me is not the best of the seltzers, but I think it tastes pretty good. So,
no.
Ooh, that was a good one. That sounded good.
Yeah, I know. I don't suck at it like you.
Well, you know.
You are teacher. Okay, guys.
Guys, I'm not sure. Like, I'm pretty sure this is not where our podcast should lead.
What? Straight into alcoholism?
Slurp. No.
We're going to get into a suck off over here. Slurp.
I think it's just the slurp off that is the problem.
Did I hear suck off? What do you think about that?
Can we just start?
We can never start with that. That is. So guys, you had some bags in front of you. And, you know, if you open those up, y'all got a fresh new set of dice hanging out in there. I went to the guys at Roll With Advantage. I think they're out of Australia. They do some... basically silicone mold casting, I believe, to get these resin dice. And I picked out a set that I think represents each character. So, you know, maybe this might lead to some of you not rolling such garbage all the time.
Yeah, I have been struggling on the three sets of die that I use for everything else that I tend to roll kind of decently on. But this podcast, I've really been sucking.
A lot of natty ones.
Yeah, tons of them. Like a statistically unlikely amount.
That sounds like a personal problem, to be honest.
Yeah, well.
I think you might be like 50% under 5.
That's
so far this podcast. I think that.
That sounds.
So one of the listeners, please do the math, because I think we're sitting on like a unlikely streak of bad luck. But
I think these new dice might be it, though. That might break my streak.
We'll see. I put a gypsy curse on them, so. Hopefully you guys roll real high.
Absolutely. Well, shout out to Roll Advantage.
Yeah,
we are looking forward to.
Yeah, they are really
looking
cool.
forward to it. Yeah,
they're absolutely beautiful. Mine are mesmerizing. They change colors as you move it. So cool.
Emily, I saw you put that check into your wallet from Roll Advantage.
God damn it! She's taking the money on the side. So where we left you guys off. You're around this fountain and you would talk to, you decided open it now, Brooks. That's a good call.
I mean, better now than later.
Sure.
Of course.
So you were around this fountain, you were talking to this little girl and she mentioned that she had a pet raven and Haley has seen as Eclipse this raven ghost. And I think at this point, most of the other characters kind of believe what she had been saying, even though none of them saw it in the flesh or in the lack thereof. So where I left everybody off was on Matumbe making a perception roll that was higher than the rest and seeing some things come out of the fountain.
That happened.
So what I want you guys to do is roll for initiative.
Does that mean I get to act in a surprise round?
It might.
But, Griffin, I'm not sure what... were you looking for what we were thinking personally?
Guys, I'm not shitting you. I am not shitting you. What is on the die right
now? That's pretty funny.
First roll.
It's a funny
brand
die.
New die.
What's on
natural
it?
Natural one?
Natural one.
Oh, Jesus.
It is.
Oh.
Speaking of natural ones, I got... a total of 20, rolling an 18 on the die.
Nice.
With a 1 in the front, I guess.
I got 15.
10 for Lyra.
10 for Lyra. And what's that total, Matumbe?
Griffin, it's going to be a real race for you to kill off my character before I off myself. That's a 5 total.
Good God.
Wow. Steve.
What's your modifier, Lyra?
5.
You just took such an angry sip
so
of
you
hams.
You and I are going to have a roll-off.
It's a rage hams.
Hams. Hams. It's for the angry.
I rolled another 5.
Ah, well, 14 on the die, so I think my my enemies are probably going to go before you.
Darn it.
So, this combat, because Matumbe noticed what was going on, actually begins in the surprise round. And what happens before Matumbe can act, because he's kind of clumsy and shitty all around, is that these four ravens materialize on the four corners of the fountain. So if you guys could place four tokens on the four corners of the fountain and prepare to enter combat. Perfect. So
are you about to say that the birds are going to attack?
No, the birds spend the surprise round materializing, so it is actually Matumbe's turn to act in the surprise round.
Well, Matumbe is just really surprised to see birds appear where he did not expect to see birds, and I would probably qualify that as an actual birdemic.
A birdemic.
This is birdemic.
All right, so Matumbe is going to, in a surprise round, you can only take a move or a standard action, and he's just going to move up right next to Lyra, which causes him to threaten the closest bird to him. If the bird's not too high up in the air, I'm assuming they're not if they came out of the fountain.
They're essentially 10 feet in the air. You would still threaten.
Okay, sweet. So yeah, I'll be right next to Lyra. And
he's basically 5 feet away from Shaquille O'Neal.
Yep.
So with that, we enter regular initiative order, and it's Ikmer's turn.
Tell me about 10 feet in the air and how that works.
Essentially, it is a one diagonal square above you if you were to be next to it. So you can still hit it when you're right next to it.
Awesome.
Is what, you know, he's not too high for you to hit if you're adjacent to him.
Okay. All right. So looking at the map in this total 3x3 square where four birds are at each of the corner, Ikmer is going to jump right in the middle of Lyra and Eclipse.
Okay.
And attack the bird on the right. Okay. On I guess to the west of him.
Okay. Roll to attack.
20 to hit.
20 hits.
And a total eight damage.
Eight damage. You swat it out of the sky, and you actually kind of swing your spear in an arc, and the blade of it just chops the head off of this blood raven, and it falls to the ground.
Awesome.
Okay. After Ikmer's turn, it is Eclipse.
So, do I just know by looking at these are nothing like the raven I saw?
You know that they're not the same raven. But actually, make me a perception check.
All right. That is an 18.
An 18. You hear in the distance a caw, but it's not like the caws you just heard. It says,
"Hello!"
Ah, like the little girl's bird.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So you hear that, and then you can do your turn.
Okay, so I'm gonna use energy ray on the one that is 15 feet in front of me.
Okay.
So this is a touch attack.
Okay.
Ooh, I got 17 on my die.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay, cool. That is 6 damage, max.
6 damage. That one falls out of the sky as well.
Yeah.
Okay. With that, it's the Raven's turn. You guys had a little girl with you. And you can tell both of them turn their attention to her and fly over to her.
So where is she in relation to us?
She's behind the party. So they fly up into the air and come down on either side of her.
Yikes.
Does that not provoke if they fly up or down?
They can fly over you.
Okay.
Like out of your reach.
But I thought you said that I was threatening a bird.
You were threatening one. You can take an attack of opportunity.
All right. Well, I'm going to try and use this die.
Okay.
That you bought for me. And
well, if Ikmer was rolled in inexplicable natural, was threatening. I definitely was a threatening.
All right. That's a 12 on the die. That brings it up to a 17.
17 hits.
Sweet. All right. Cool. That's good news. All right. 8 points of damage.
And it drops.
Boom.
So one of these ravens attacks the little girl. With a natural one. And misses her.
Yay.
Lyra, you're up.
Oh, goodness. So the raven isn't too far away from Lyra. So she would take a 5-foot step towards the little girl.
Okay.
And the raven. And is the raven within striking distance of Lyra then?
Because it's attacking the little girl, so it has to be low.
Okay.
You know what? Lyra, what melee weapon do you have?
I have a Morning Star.
Oh, okay. I was just curious.
So I can actually attack. Don't worry.
Give it a shot.
So Lyra is going to tell the little girl as like a free action to... watch out. Oh, goodness. A 7?
A 7 does not hit. And it is Matumbe's turn.
Okay. So it looks like there is a free square that I can stand on, and I'm not like jumping into hedges or something next to the bird. So Matumbe is going to slide in between Ik and Lyra and swat at the bird in the air with his book. Big ironbound tome. That's a 12 on the die again. That brings it up to
yep,
a
that hits.
17. All right. Let's roll for some damage. I knew that shit was going to happen. All right. 5 total. That's
still
a 1
up.
On the die.
The bird is still up.
Oh, God.
I guess you can probably guess what their HP is. So
5.5.
With that, Ikmer's turn again.
Yeah. So if it wasn't clear before, Ikmer did his best to jump in front of Lyra and Eclipse when the two birds were attacking before. And now he is going to do his best to jump and attack the bird for protection wise from this little girl.
Okay.
So
roll the attack.
I'll save you. Total 13 to attack.
Does not hit. Okay.
Does his best to swing, but this is it.
Clips, your turn.
Alright, so how much would one of these birds weigh? More or less than 5 pounds?
More.
Alright, thanks. Do I see... I'm going to guess there's some sticks or branches in the hedges.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find something. A stone. Change from the fountain.
All right, cool. So I'm going to make a range attack with like a stick or some change, maybe from the fountain.
Various detritus.
Ooh. I rolled a 3, so I do not hit.
You want to guess that doesn't hit?
No.
Make me another perception check.
All right, that's 14.
You see the form of what you recognize as Aranel appear next to the little girl, and he kind of flaps over to her and acts as a shield almost. He perches on her shoulders and attempts to block any blows coming her way.
In case anyone forgot, because it just clicked to me, that was her pet bird.
Yes.
Okay.
Really?
So with that, it's the bird's turn, and bubbling up from the fountain, you see two more ravens. The one next to the little girl attempts to attack her again. Does not hit with a 3 on the die. And the two birds that materialize from the fountain spend their turn appearing. It is now Lyra's turn.
All right, since we've been having a little bit of trouble actually hitting the birds and more coming, Lyra is going to take a 5-foot step diagonally away from the birds, and she is going to start singing the same inspiring song about rising like the tides again to inspire courage in the whole group.
Oh, you don't want to just reiterate that again for us? I'm just kidding. So Lyra's gone. It is now Matumbe's turn.
Okay. Matumbe is currently threatening a bird that is threatening a child, so Matumbe is going to try and kill that bird. Take a swat at it. 12 on the die, that brings it up to a 17. I rolled 3 12s in a row.
Seems like this die can only roll 12s, which is better than 90% of your previous rolls, so you're welcome.
I mean, it also rolled a natural 1. All right, that brings my damage there is 9 points.
Kills it.
Boom!
Drops to the ground.
Like a dead bird.
Like a dead bird. Much like a dead bird.
Okay.
Does it drop like a rock?
Drops like the rock.
Does it drop like it's hot?
Very hot. It's very hot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Igmar, it's your turn.
Griffin, can you tell me if I can ready an action and take a move action at the same time?
No.
Okay. Because right now, since Lyra moved from directly in front of the child to, I guess, diagonally in front of the child, Ikmer, as a character, would love to stand in front of the child to block anything. And so I think that's what he's going to do.
Now, Igmar can move up to her and as an aid another action can confer a bonus to her AC.
That is absolutely what he will do then.
So you need to make a roll, beat a 10, you give a plus 2 to her AC.
Yeah, he's doing a pretty bad job of that.
Yeah,
to be honest.
He threw his shield in the bushes.
I'll help you, little girl. Let me just kind of put my shield over here.
Stop, you're pushing me. Okay, so Ikmer's gone. It's Eclipse's turn.
Okay, so there's one probably 10 feet in front of me in the fountain. I think use another energy ray, actually.
Okay.
And another range touch. Natural 20.
Boom!
Ooh.
Is that the first one?
All right, roll to confirm.
Oh, I got a 5 on that, so that is 7.
Does not confirm.
Oh, wait, 8?
Does not confirm.
All right, just checking. Okay.
Wait, hold on, I'm sorry. Matumbe, as an Inquisitor, has Judicious Force, which means that if you or an ally within 10 feet makes a critical threat with a melee or ranged attack, as an immediate action, you may add plus 4 to the confirmation roll. So would adding plus 4 to that cause it to crit?
8 plus 4?
Nope.
Plus 4. Aw, man.
That darn it.
Against plus touch? Nope.
And then another plus 1 because of...
Oh, I got that. I got that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No critical, but do your damage.
6.
And you're kind of confused, but this raven doesn't go down.
Oh, no.
And it is the raven's turn. And you know what everyone's been mentioning? Hams. Eclipse kind of looks like a little girl, doesn't she?
She sure does.
So both of the ravens are going to fly towards Eclipse. One 5 feet up, and the next 5 feet diagonally. And they're both going to attack at Eclipse. Does a... Well, I know a 15 on the die hits.
Yeah.
Does a 13 hit?
No.
A 13 does not hit, so one of them hits you. And does... 5 damage.
Real quick, I can't remember. Swift actions, can those be done at any time, or is that just immediate?
On your turn.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Immediate is whenever.
I've made a grave mistake.
Grave mistake? Possibly.
All right.
It is now Lyra's turn.
Lyra is going to continue singing.
Okay. So that is, just for the record, 4 rounds for the day.
Yes. I have six total.
Okay.
So she can keep singing. I don't think we're going to have too many more battles after this tonight, hopefully.
I just had like 8 more lined up.
For the day, it's important.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay.
And then she is going to take a 5-foot step close to the diagonal raven. And then she is going to attempt to hit it with her sea urchin-looking morning star again.
Nice.
Did a little better this time. 18.
18 hits.
Woo!
The undamaged raven, correct? The one that Eclipse did not energy
yes.
ray.
8 damage.
8 damage puts it down.
Yes.
Boom. Dropping like a dead bird.
And it is Matumbe's turn.
Okay, Matumbe is 5 feet away from a raven that is threatening a friend of his, so he's going to take a 5-foot step closer to the raven and swat at it with the book. 11 on the die. So that's a 16 to hit. Wait, plus 1 brings it to 17.
Plus 1 from the song?
Yep.
That
My
hits.
Die adjusts itself to 17 total.
Okay, hits.
All right, I'm going to roll some damage. All right, that is 8 points worth of damage.
And it goes down.
Like a dead bird.
And we exit combat.
Awesome.
And you can notice that the fountain starts churning. And the slight bubbling seems to get more aggressive, as if to say, leave. You get the feeling that there's not exactly a limited supply of these ravens.
Real quick, does it look kind of like it's boiling or?
Almost. I mean, slightly less aggressive than a boil, but it doesn't look like it's just bubbling like it was before.
Okay.
So guys, before we take this little girl home, now that you're out of combat, I kind of want to know, like, what do you guys as players, not as characters, like, what the fuck do you think is going on here? You know, with anything, you've had, you know, your character's good friend died, starts to look like a murder. You're starting to hear about these cults. You're starting to find these disturbances in the town. A raven taps on Haley's window and it's not real. There's blood on the monument to town. There's undead in the Restlands, which are supposed to be blessed by Pharasma. There's goddamn ravens coming out of this fountain, and there's a creepy little girl. Like, what do you guys think's going on? You got stalkers in the night and that kind of thing. I'll start with Emily.
But right quick, is the raven on the little girl's shoulder still? Because, like...
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thank you. I just needed to know that as Eclipse. Okay, we can continue with regular things now.
So, Emily, what do you as a player think is going on? Do you have any, like, interesting theories?
Oh, I'm still kind of in the dark. I think Intrellis might be good and wanting to potentially protect the children. And he, obviously, this raven that she had was good, but the others aren't, so might not have been able to tell the difference. He was trying to protect her. That's why he was always staring, making sure it wasn't doing anything nefarious.
Like it didn't attack her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
As far as... I don't know how the raven necessarily ties into the Whispering Way and the blood on the statue, but I definitely think that there's something going on in the Harrow Stone with the fire and Professor Lorimore dying and none of the bodies being able to be recovered. I feel like the Whispering Way might be covering tracks of something that's going on there.
Sure. Haley, what about you?
Okay. I'll wait.
I mean, if you want to go, Brooks, jump right
in. I just wanted to piggyback on that and say that I think that Intrellis is... Personally, I think that Intrellis is a good character and is possibly on the lookout for children, I guess, in that sense. We saw the children, these ghost-looking children in the alleyway, and this ghost-looking child that we are currently with, he is protecting children, or more children, and because Eclipse looks like a child, he is doing his best to look out for the children that are being, I guess, entranced by these ravens that are pulling them into the fountain and possibly like drowning them or attacking them or whatever it might be.
Drown thing.
Yeah. And so overall, I think that he is a good character as Ikmer. Definitely, I don't think that he would figure that out, but that is my personal theory. But I agree with Emily in that there's a lot of investigating to be done.
You guys haven't even stressed the surface of the Harrow Stone yet.
No, we have not. And I think that I can't even make an assumption
on that piece.
Yeah, not yet.
What about you, Haley?
So I guess my thought that keeps running through my head is because I know the body was like mutilated. Was anyone able to, without any like semblance of a doubt, confirm that really was Lorimore? Is Lorimore really dead? That keeps running through my head again and again.
I did not even think that.
Just because if the body was mutilated enough, were they able to truly confirm?
Yeah, we know for a fact they couldn't do speak with dead. We know that the face was fucked up. It could just be a different old man in his clothes or something.
Right, especially because Lorimore knew he was getting into some deep shit with the Whispering Way.
Mm-hmm.
So did he also, could he have faked his death? This keeps running through my head. Is he really gone?
Professor Lorimore is the Whispering Tyrant. Boom.
Bam. Tarbaphon, a.k.a. Professor Lorimore.
All right. Well, I think, Griffin, go ahead and give us the entirety of
the actual
campaign.
The actual.
I think we solved it.
Yeah, I'd like to voice my opinions here. I don't know. You guys have put together some interesting cases here. I don't know what to believe yet, and I don't really want to get too tied to a theory myself because it could go in any direction, and we really are just scratching the surface. Is Horus the Whispering Tyrant? I don't know. We'll find out.
Who knows, Motumbe?
It's always this weird and yum noise that you make together, and it just
It's great to see you again, Eclipse. Thank you for speaking with me.
Oh, I made such a mistake.
If you go back and listen to episode 2, I was very clear. I don't think you should talk to this man. You're going to open something that you didn't want to start.
You opened Tarbaphon's box.
Oh, God.
So yeah, I really wanted to hear what you guys were thinking thus far. Obviously, we're not that far in, but just curious to see what my players' theories are, see how close or far away you are from the truth. So with that, I think you guys have convinced the little girl to let you walk her home, and she's helpful.
But she was very adamant on coming back.
Yeah, and I believe Lyra made another check that, you know, yes, she's still adamant about coming back, but she agreed to, like, tell her parents.
And the
okay.
Raven is on her shoulder?
The Raven is currently on her shoulder.
And Matumbe's going to try and touch the Raven.
Okay, Matumbe tries to touch the Raven.
Okay.
And his hand passes through it.
Oh, dear.
What, because, well, Ikmer is actually standing right next to her. Ikmer would like to, I guess, pat this girl on the shoulder just to, like, make sure, I guess, you know what? I'll do a stealth check to make sure
she's real.
Actually what? There.
Sure. No one's touched
stealth?
Her yet.
Stealth? That doesn't feel like...
Well, not necessarily stealth.
Perception?
Perception? Well, either. I mean,
you pat her on the shoulder. Yeah, you can make a perception check. I don't.
Yeah. Guys, got a total 5.
You still don't feel like your hand passed through her.
Don't.
But you can. Okay. You can feel that she's shivering. She's scared. She just got attacked.
But she's a
little girl. Have you ever seen your raven before after death?
No. This is Arendelle, though.
And she kind of looks towards the bird.
Eclipse, I apologize. I did not want to escort this girl home. I thought there was no substance here. But it appears there's something at play. You seem to be rather familiar with ghosts. What do you know of this?
Well, it looks a lot like the bird that came in my window. So I'm gonna guess it's the same one. I think this one seems like a friendly ghost. So I think ghosts are generally not that bad. I think they got a bad rap. This one seems pretty good.
Little girl, I'm sorry to interrupt, but do you happen to know anything about Entrellis?
No, not really. I know he's the man that kind of watches people. He sneaks around town and watches people, and he's not always in town. He's just there when you don't expect him to be.
All right. No need for diplomacy?
No. I mean, well, you can roll one, but...
But it wouldn't help.
She's more than willing to give you information at this point. She's
but it wouldn't help. Okay.
That's just not a good thing for a little girl to say. Yeah, this man just walks around town and watches people. Well, but also, we should probably leave this fountain.
Hey, it's not 2018 in Pathfinder.
Lyric no, it's like, not.
That doesn't make any better. But anyways.
So we are leaving.
Yeah. Lyra's going to kind of go up behind the little girl and just put her arm around her shoulder to try to reassure her that she's okay for right now and kind of steer her away from the fountain.
Okay.
Towards her house.
Okay.
So, little girl, so she points you. Me. She actually points you in the direction of. Honestly, it looks like it's. The way you were heading initially, it looks like it's kind of down the street that the Lorimore estate is on.
Okay. While we're walking, E's going to try and talk to the bird a little, if it will respond. Does it stay with her?
It stays on her shoulder as she walks, and she seems perfectly comfortable with this ethereal bird on her shoulder.
Oh, yeah, it's her pet.
Do you have? Does anyone have Talk with Undead?
Speak no. with Dead?
Speak with Dead? I don't know what level of spell that
Does
is.
Does anyone have Speak with Animals? Probably not. No druids, huh?
You know, and Handle Animal check might help.
I don't have that.
God damn it.
No, I just have a lot could of shadowy
I,
stuff.
Could I roll
so
it?
So you're going to...
I don't think
you can. If it's not showing up in Hero Lab for me and I didn't put any points into it, that means
yeah, it's a trained skill.
Yeah.
But he's going to try and just say like, hello, Raven. Can you speak?
Speak!
Do you just say the last thing that someone said to you?
Hello?
Nope, guess not. So no one told the bird drowned. It just is screaming drowned.
Bird, have you ever heard the teachings of Pharasma?
Oh my god.
Goodbye!
So, nobody wants to be preached at.
So you, we'll see about that.
So you guys take this little girl home and Eclipse, Ikmer, and Lyra. You notice as she kind of turns to the house that is hers, it's the house directly on the opposite side of the neighbor two doors down from Professor Lorimore's house that you saw Antrellis sneaking around.
Oh, no.
The night prior.
Oh, Eclipse has so many problems with this.
Wait, so the old lady...
The old lady lives there. Is her next door neighbor.
Is her next door? Okay.
She's on the other side of the old lady's house, away from Lorimore's house.
He's just going to make sure everyone knows. So, guys, she's right by where Antrellis was, like where he was watching me. It's just right there.
I think we need to talk with her parents. They need to know that there's a grown man kind of stalking their house.
Okay, so do you guys knock on the door?
Lear would go up and knock on the door.
Okay, and
no, I think we're just gonna leave her here.
Just leave her.
No big deal.
The front porch.
Yep, no big deal.
To the mercy of Antrellis Weinstein.
Oh god.
Got him.
So you knock on the door and it takes a minute and you can kind of see like from upstairs a candle gets lit and somebody starts coming downstairs and actually her dad opens the door.
Hi, my name's Lyra and we found your daughter out by the fountain and we're just escorting her home. But we also happened to notice that last night there was a man in Trellis and he was... kind of loitering around your house, and we're worried for your safety and for the safety of your daughter.
Oh, Liana, what, why are you outside of the house? And he says, thank you. What is your name?
Lyra.
Lyra, thank you so much for bringing her home. You said there's a man walking around our house?
At least around the outside, we don't really know much else, but we just think you should be extra cautious. We don't really know if he's good or not. We haven't been able to find him. That's all we can give you.
This seems like grave news. Liana, you are hereby locked in your room after dark. I don't want you... leaving the house. Did you see what happened to the memorial today, Liana? You can't be going out in town on nights like these. And she says,
But Dad, Aranel, I want to leave him flowers.
And you all notice that the raven's gone.
Oops.
You didn't hear it leave. It's just not there.
Shoot.
He's going to turn to Leanna and just like say,
Leanna, don't worry. I will make sure there are flowers left for your bird.
Thank you, E. I'll stay home. I promise, Dad, I'll stay home.
You'd better. You're going to get yourself into trouble here. There are terrible things afoot in town, and I don't want you outside after dark. And he thanks you all, and he brings his daughter inside. What are you guys doing?
Well, person, I guess, out of character. Shoot, that bird could have been so helpful to us, but I have no idea how we could have done any more.
We could maybe try the spirit board.
To talk all right.
with the bird.
To talk with a low intelligence. I mean, it's got enough intelligence to speak, so.
And you know what's going to happen when that bird starts speaking. Birdemic.
Thanks, Steve.
So do you guys head back to Lorimer's house? It's only like, you know, three houses down.
Yeah.
Do you guys head back?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, it's late.
We were walking back from the crypt.
Yep.
And
Memorial.
Yep. I can't imagine there's too much else that we were specifically wanting to do.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's pretty late too, so there's not much that's gonna be.
I think we should get our 8 hours.
I think at this point Matumbe just wants to get back and start studying that book of Urgothoa again.
Okay. Is there anything that we wanted the daughter
Kendra?
To do? Kendra.
Kendra was preparing the comprehend languages spells when she was in the library with Matumbe earlier. So she should have that ready for tomorrow.
Okay. So Ikmer, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, both as a player and a character, ready to take those 8 hours.
Okay. So you guys head back to the Lorimore estate. Kendra has already turned in for the night, and I assume you guys do as well. Is anybody studying anything before they go to sleep?
You would like to take another look at that all black book.
Make me any knowledge planes.
Absolutely. All right. So I got a 17 on the die, which is a lot better than last time. So that is going to actually be a 24.
A 24. That's going to give you a couple of things. So, Eclipse, you know that this book is called On Verified Madness. You know that it's exceedingly rare, and you kind of knew that beforehand. You know that it contains information on aberrations from the Dark Tapestry. Things that many men have never encountered, yet cults worship in the dark corners of Galarian. There is information in this book on specific aberrations. And as you read, you start to learn more information. But make me a will save.
Oh my God.
Okay. Is this against shadow or mind affecting?
No. Well, mind affecting.
Mind affecting? Cool. Got a 15 on die.
Nice. Oh, that's really
plus
big.
4, so that's 19.
You feel these dark thoughts start to creep into your mind, and you kind of shake your head and they subside. But you realize that this is kind of a powerful book. This isn't a book to fuck around with reading. It's something that you need to almost prepare to delve into, because it's the things detailed inside, and you've only read like the first 10 pages, and the things detailed inside are so beyond normal reckoning that the thought that they exist is terrifying.
Yeah, at the same time, so as much as that might be terrifying, East two big schools of magic are abjuration and evocation. So she is way interested and wants to figure out how she can better prepare, because she will want to read this all, whether it gives her dark thoughts or whatever it might. She's okay. Going to want to read it.
Does she tell the rest of the characters?
Well, she's definitely in her room studying right now.
Okay.
We're
all in your rooms now. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Regardless, this book is going to be kept under lock and key.
Does this mean that Eclipse and Lyra are not sharing a room anymore?
That's the new norm now, I guess.
Rule 34 in action.
So is anyone else studying anything? Or are you guys going straight to bed?
I want to study my, you know what? I'm going to change it up. I spent a few nights going after the Urgothoa tome, and I want to take a closer look at the book that has the skull with chains on it.
Okay. Make me a knowledge religion check.
Okay.
Motherfucking Christ.
That is a 9 total.
A 9 total. You still don't really know what's up with this book. You start to read it, though, and you're starting to get the gist that this book is all about pain. And that's kind of all you get. You read through a little bit of it and you realize that you're just not kind of getting it. But the thought of, like, you know, the idea of hurting yourself and hurting others seems to be like a prevalent theme in what you're reading.
That's terrifying.
Well, Ikmer is going to continue just holding on to his book, which is the purple Yep.
Okay. Ikmer holds on to it, and holds on to it.
He's, you know, he could try his best to that's not true. He doesn't. And so...
He'll just hold on to it for the night.
He might stare at it for a little bit. Pretty colors, but that's all he gets out of it.
Yeah, and he knows that Kendra is going to help him out with it tomorrow. So, because she told Ikmer she would, and she's preparing Comprehend Languages. So, is Lyra doing anything before she goes to bed?
Lyra's just going to flip through some of the hero cards that she received just to see what's in the set that she got, just to get a little more familiar.
You flipping through all the cards?
She'd just flip through them, I guess, until she fell asleep. So she'd keep on going.
So she gets through the deck more than once, is what you're saying?
She probably would. She'd be curious about them, want to know what's in them.
Make me a perception check.
You had such an evil look on your face.
I'm really worried.
Oh, it's not a good roll.
9.
Yeah. Lyra's kind of too tired to pay great attention to any of these cards that she's kind of flipping through rather quickly. And she ends up falling asleep before she can really get a good idea of what all is in the deck.
Okay.
And as Lyra falls asleep, she begins to dream. And Emily, what does Lyra dream of?
She dreams of a small child sitting in a sea cave, watching the waves crash on a dim, rocky beach. A tall man with a large forehead and wide-set eyes appears out of the shadow and instructs.
Again, from the top, just like we practiced.
The girl draws in a breath and releases a dark, otherworldly song that reverberates off the cavern walls even after the song ends. After several minutes of watching the waves crash, the man interjects.
Lyra, you better be taking this seriously. If your mother's prediction is wrong, we will have to punish her, and you don't want that, do you?
It's not her fault they don't like the song, protests Lyra. It's not pretty. They would never come up for it.
Never mind what you think from the top, but this time put your soul into it.
Lyra starts singing the same song again, but this time plays off the echoes to enhance the complexity of the haunting tune. The waves stop crashing and the ocean stands still. Suddenly gripped by fear, but unable to stop singing, Lyra's song gets more erratic as she steps closer to the calmed water. The glassy surface of the water begins to distort as something rises to the surface. And at that moment, Lyra, adult Lyra, sits straight up in her bed, sweating and just quite disturbed after this revelation.
And Emily the player, I'm going to need you to draw a card.
Ooh.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing, folks.
I got the midwife.
Ah, yes, the midwife is a good card. So that imparts a basically an advantage bonus to you. You can use it at any time in order to give yourself two rolls instead of one on a check and take the better result.
Nice.
So with that, Lyra kind of wakes up with a start and has kind of fitful sleep after that. Eclipse. Before you go to bed, I need you to make a perception check.
All right. Guessing there's another raven.
Please tell me there's... Yep.
Didn't roll great. Rolled an 8. So that is a 12.
With a 12, you hear... Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap.
I don't think I probably should have slept alone.
Do you go to one of the windows?
Yeah, absolutely. I need to at least see it to ease my mind.
Make another perception check.
A 13.
So you successfully, this time, open the correct window. And you see the raven sitting on the sill. As if it's waiting for you. Do you open the window?
Yeah, you know, he's definitely going to. The raven was good today. Gonna open the window.
So Eclipse opens the window and she recognizes this raven as the one she has seen before. And it says one word. Follow! And it begins to fly away. What does Eclipse do?
Where is it going?
It's gone at this point across from Lorimore's house to the next house. They should follow.
As a player, I want you to look like I want you to look for Horace. Or not Horace.
I'm back, baby.
No.
I want you to look for Trellis so bad, and it is so hard not to say anything. Like, as a character, like, these are one of those situations that it is so
you gotta
hard
follow.
Not to
you gotta like, follow.
Not to interject as a player to
yet you are
to say like what you are
you're interjecting,
like,
you're interjecting as a player.
So what does Eclipse do?
Alright, so what's going through E's mind right now is, number one, is this raven trying to take me to the guy. Like, that really would go through her head. Because last time she saw the raven, Entrellis was out there. So she would probably look at that, and if Entrellis is not out there to her knowledge, she's gonna probably follow. Thinking that this bird is coming to get her to either help Lyanna or some other reason.
Okay, so she follows. you...
If she didn't see Intrellis.
Make another perception check.
That's 16 on the die, so 20 total.
You don't see anyone outside.
Oh, damn it. All right, so I'm following.
Okay. So you follow. You're on the second floor, so you go downstairs.
Yeah.
You leave the house.
Yep.
Okay. And...
I'm taking the battle axe, to be clear.
That's fair. And the raven swoops down from the from its perch on the building next door and starts kind of, you wouldn't call it flying. You'd call it hovering. About a foot in front of you, leading you to the south of town. And as you follow it, you reach the outskirts. You reach the end of Ravengrow. And you reach the forest beyond. Do you continue?
Again, E thinks that the bird is a good thing. So as much as me as a player am like, well, I'm going to be killed right now, E is going to follow.
So you think this is a birdemic situation?
Not again.
No, see? Nope.
So you follow this bird into the woods. Make me a perception check.
For the record, I did like that.
Thanks, Brooks. I like you too.
Make me a perception check, Eclipse.
All right. 13 on the die. So that's 17.
Good, good, good.
17 is enough. Once you've made it, maybe 100 yards into the woods, you start to hear rustling behind you from town.
All right.
Fuck.
Do you continue to follow the bird?
No, she's going to go. Oh, shit. What's the name of the bird again?
Aranel.
Aranel, stop. Hang on. There's someone behind us.
And it squawks at you. Follow.
E is going to stop and turn around.
And you have dark vision, right?
Absolutely.
You see the silhouette of a large man with a wood cutting axe in his hand.
That's not good.
Do you follow the bird? The bird is leading away.
Away from the wood axe. So at this point, I guess that's the safest option.
And as you've waited here, he's continued to get closer.
All right.
And closer. And I think at this point, he starts to pick up his pace. Do you continue with the bird?
I guess so. It's the only safe option at this point.
And Aranel starts flying faster, and it's a little harder to keep up. And Eclipse ends up running through the woods.
Hell yeah!
And the woods open up into a clearing. It's a footpath that you wouldn't have known of before. And the bird starts leading you down it. And you continue to follow Aranel. And make me a perception check.
I got a natural one. So that's a 5.
And you lose.
Griffin, these dice are terrible.
You lose where this figure had been. You lose him among the trees, and you're not sure where he went. And you continue to follow Aranel down this path, this clearing in the trees. It looks like it's been traversed before. And ahead of you, you see a shack and a ravine. And then Aranel shrieks, "Goodbye!" and disappears.
Straight up palms are sweaty, mom spaghetti moment right here. Like, my hands are literally sweaty. Can we continue now?
Eclipse turns to the path behind her. And the figure is there, 10 feet away. He rushes at Eclipse with a blind sprint and brings down the axe on her. and Eclipse wakes up.
God, fuck.
In a pool of her own sweat. And she looks down. And her feet are covered in mud. Mud and pine needles. Like she's been out all night.
I don't like this.
And and as Eclipse goes back to sleep, I need you guys to finish your drinks.
God damn it.
Because we'll see you next week, folks.
I knew it.
Wait.